G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the Basketball Blokes, dribbling all things Aussie Hoops and NBL Fantasy.
That's it, and going back to the flashback to the old intro, and Banksy was just saying how he misses that one a
memories.
Little bit. Oh, good old memories, but...
The OG.
Probably a few people in the podcast we'll be talking about, they're going to have to get written into that intro at the moment. I've got a little example line for what... I'm trying to write it up at the moment, so... We were going to release that Patreon tier, of course, for people to get to nominate players not to be included in the intro song with the curse last year. But so far, I'll just give a little sample. So after we've been talking about having a can of three, it's, will we convert to a Pinot because the Pretzel had to go? Yanni's teed up with some Frenchmen and he's paired with Robert Lowe. So that could be a nice little starter. We'll see if that hangs around and...
That's rough on Big Dane. I think he's had enough bad luck in recent times.
I'm not sure as a Phoenix man I want to have MVPino in the song, but we might have to take that offline.
Well, yeah, we will. We'll discuss that, but there'll be some Frenchmen certainly talked about today as well. I guess we're not going to bury the lead. Banksy, we asked, do we do a podcast sometime last week? Is there enough information to get some out? Banksy's just like, hold off. Wise move, because yesterday, to me, I don't know, I'd love your guys' opinion, it seemed like one of the biggest days in the NBL for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, it was going nuts, wasn't it, yesterday? You want to turn your mic on there, Banksy?
I'm here. I'm waiting for my time. Coming.
Firstly, we've got a little clip to play. There's basically for me been two moments where I've never been prouder of my Australian athletes and the way they represent us. First one was Paddy Mills in the finals against Miami Heat.
Yep.
And, of course, we all congratulate Paddy. I think we'd all agree that he's the best choice to be the flag bearer to represent us.
100.
But, Banksy, you'll have plenty of time to talk about it, but first we're going to have a listen to this.
Wild shot from Donovan Dolvin. It goes in.
Here's the thing, Mike. The other team can play slower. As Dellavedova hits a little floater. It's not, you've got to be able to win at many different tempos.
J.R. Smith double team, finds Dellavedova, throws it up to Thompson. Thompson goes back up and puts it in. Tristan Thompson, 6.7 rebounds here in the first quarter. Dellavedova nails a three-pointer. 8 points for Matthew Dellavedova. Dellavedova flips that one up and in. A quick timeout by Steve Kerr. First double-digit lead of the night. Barnes defending LeBron James. Goes with him nicely on the spin. James kicks it out. Dellavedova for three. Bang! Curry pushing. Curry drives, spins against Shumpert. Knocked away. Quick hands from Iman Shumpert. Dellavedova to James. James for three. Puts it in.
And it's not just with shot-making. You got to find a way to make an impactful play.
Azili right there. Dellavedova gets it and banks it in. Thompson on the drive. Adjusts right hand. Shot won't go. Fight for the rebound. Here comes James. Cross to Dellavedova. Alley-oop to James. And he throws it down. James comes up hobbling a bit after the play.
LeBron James has got to get aggressive here.
Dellavedova, and one! Count it, and a foul as Matthew Dellavedova knocked down, banks it in.
I don't know if he picked it up, double dribble, but this guy, I would have never thought in this type of a game he could be this good.
We are seeing the emergence of one of the more improbable playoff heroes in recent postseason history. Dellavedova completes the three-point play. He's got 18 points. James on the drive, the pull-up jumper, side of the backboard. Here comes Curry the other way. Curry looking, knocked down, lost the ball. Dellavedova dives, Lee dives on top of him. And a foul is called against Golden State.
What effort by LeBron James in transition. Misses the baseline jumper, sprints back, knocks the ball loose, and then Dellavedova first to the floor and is fouled.
What effort by Dellavedova. I mean, can a guy play any better than he's played?
And now has a new playoff career high, 20 points for Dellavedova.
And that, fellas, was the number two moment that stands out for me that made me so proud of our Australian athletes. And you guys, any got any other memories to add to that, Boydie? We'll let, maybe you jump in first, Boydie, because Banksy's going to have a bit to say, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, mine's the famous photo of him after the championship drinking the Corona cans, to
the
be
Coronas.
Honest. while you know, LeBron and the crew are all drinking Cristal
or
whatever
they want. Shirt or something?
Yeah, like he's got a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
That's Aussie.
Obviously, being a Cavs man, I'm very excited about this signing. That excited that you may have heard, I actually called my one-year-old son Dally, and he still, more in summer, sports his Dellavedova Cavs jersey that these fellow blokes were nice enough to give him for his birthday. But yeah, Benny, when I got your message to say, oh my effing God, early as I was arising in the morning that United had signed Dally, United almost signed me and my son Dally up for memberships next season.
You were still rising in the morning.
There you go. I mean, rising in all sorts, no doubt. So we're going to discuss Dally as a player, but it just reminded me of being such a big moment as when Andrew Bogut signed, and put a quick poll out there on Twitter, @Beeble_blokes, if you want to follow along. And we basically asked, from a fan's perspective, which signature had you more excited, Bogut and Dellavedova? And just like in that clip we played, Bogut got the last laugh at the end of the day. Boydie, with those results there.
Yeah, so you end up 65% in favour of Bogut. I mean, look, Bogut's the bigger name. Was a number one draft pick, etc., etc. So he was, he's been the biggest name in Aussie basketball for a long time before Dally. Dally came from undrafted waters and all that. So it's not surprising, I'd say.
Yeah. Banksy, there's been some chatter. I saw something along the lines of Dally, is it much of an upgrade on McCarron and the like? You've got, I know you can see some notes there. How are you feeling about how he's going to go as a player for your team and as a fantasy prospect, I guess?
Admittedly, I've got a little bit of bias here, obviously. But I was surprised to see some of the negative comments and commentary on the socials about the signing. There was a few out there. There's always going to be haters. But, Dally, washed up, too old, past it, etc., etc. But I mean, we're talking about a guy that won an NBA championship playing 25 minutes a game. That alone is a massive achievement. That season, he shot the three ball at 41%, and he played his hustle role extremely well, and that understandably earned him 54 starts the following season with the Bucks as well. But when you're talking about those comments of washed up, too old, past it, you're talking about a guy who is the same age as Nathan Sobey, who is arguably coming off his best season in the NBL, a Mitch Creek, same age, and he's younger than Scotty Machado there as well. So I definitely don't think age comes into it whatsoever. But look, biased aside, the signing I think is amazing for United, just having that big name in the league, and also, the league coming off a COVID affected and, that affect viewership last season. I think this is only a good thing for our league as a whole, not just United. And I think for those fantasy coaches out there that are sort of raising flags around injuries and concussions for Dally, that sort of thing heading in to that signing, well, the good thing is we're about to see what he's capable of in Tokyo around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get a bit of a bird's eye view of what he's going to be like. And I think his game really suits the NBL. He's, I think it's a great signing. It'll probably be the signing of the offseason, really.
And I suspect that he'll be surrounded by good shooters, good players in the dunking, good bigs. So lots of assist numbers, probably plenty of steals for Dally. The $1.5 million asking price is what Bogut started with. Mitch Creek coming off the G League was a bit cheaper than that. But at $1.5, I don't think he's a lock at $1.5. I'd love your thoughts if that's the eventual pricing we get for Dally.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to go with him, I think, because, I don't know. If he balls out with the Boomers, then maybe you'd be locking it in. It's kind of a bit of an unknown. And it also depends on who else they sign there and everything too. Like, if he, get someone that he can just work with. Well, he's already got CG there. It's going to be elite. But has the hustle on that team. Imagine a lineup with Dele, Shea, Jack White on the court. Even Newley's his defense is you know up there. I know he's getting on a bit, but that's a heck of a hustle team.
You'd imagine their import signings will be pretty logical. They've obviously got a gap, as you can see on our rolling rosters, at the small forward and center position. So likely going to fill those two. But even with my bias, I think it's just going to, as we well know, it's going to come down to what that schedule looks like at the beginning of the season. If he's priced at $1.5 million, it's not absolute value at this point. But yeah, going to come down to schedule.
As we'll talk about a bit later on, there's some value like already around the league. And, you know, maybe you can take a punt on Dele at 1.5 if you're only paying, you know, $600,000 or $700,000 for certain other players that we'll discuss later on, probably.
Yeah.
And while we're on that, a bit of a shameless plug, Benny's done a massive amount of work on our website. So we're saying the price is $1.5 million, but he's also gone through and priced everyone according to their average over the year, which is how it was done, how it's been done in previous years for the next season. So if you jump onto basketballblokes.com and jump into the news, what are those things called? Click down menu things.
Tabs.
Yep. News tab and down to rolling rosters. You can see every team with all the signings and all their what we think their prices will be without based on this year's dollar per point or whatever it is. So.
And full transparency, Boydy may or may not be quite hungover today, so judge his performance today will. A bit rusty, Boyd?
Yeah, a little bit.
Good old weekend recordings. Hey. Look, and you've just been talking about Dellavedova's age, and we're looking at that Melbourne United roster. Dele's a young bloke compared to some of these other players on the Melbourne United roster that they've been signing with, Dave Barlow, Brad Newley, as you mentioned before. So... We're going to go through a couple of the rosters, but Dele's a questionable at the moment, but is there anyone else on that Melbourne United roster signed currently that you'd even touch or think about as a with some upside? Banks, you mentioned one before, and I probably agree with that one, Banks, if you want to...
It's going to depend on the signing, but at this stage, the only true center would be JLA at $1.15 million is what he's priced at compared to his average from last season. And we know that he's an absolute jet when you look at the points per minute played. But we know what United will do. They will likely sign a big man import, and that's going to affect his value for next season.
And one name that you know people will remember from this year because he was bargain basement and turned out awesome was Jack White, obviously. But as we've just talked about, we've gone through and priced, or Benny's gone through and priced them based on the average, and Jack White's average of 35.8 for his games makes him a 1.4 mil player. So he goes from 250K to 1.4, you're probably not going with that.
That's when you're going to be taking $1 million imports over someone priced at 1.4.
That's right. We haven't had an update on Jack as far as injuries. We've got an injury update from DJ3J, which is on... the news tab under player on the under injuries at the moment is a tweet there that he said he'd be back on the court until November. Wani from Perth has been signed as an injury replacement until Dayan is back on the court. But yeah, nothing too much from Melbourne United, defending champs. But we're going to go to moving on to what I've called the dynamic duos, fellas, because there has been some signed, and you'll notice if you go on to the rolling roster, we've got a threshold which is called Olgan Official. If Olgan tweets it, we call it official, even though the clubs may not have announced it yet. So, something that came out yesterday in what was this huge day was the signing of Tyler Harvey. Boyd, I might let you go, even though you might be in struggle town today. But 3 years for Tyler Harvey. Tell me what you think about that.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think we saw it this year. He's a baller, and it's good for the league to have him on. I see him as a bit of a Cotton light. He's not as good as Cotton. Don't hate me, Red Army. But I think I like watching him play, and I'm really happy he's in the league. I think he's probably what's his price going to be off the top of your head? Do you know? We haven't got it open, have you? Nah. Anyways, not sure he's going to be fantasy relevant unless they've got like triples or something like that to start the year.
1.55.
There we go, 1.55. because you're probably going to have, with the possibly 3 import rule, there's going to be lots of new imports. So you're going to take a punt on $1 million player and over him, unless the schedule, of course. But
and of course, his dynamic duo is with Juwop Reith, who we admittedly know very little about. I think is probably fair to say from in this room, but we're going to get a lovely little preview with the Boomers camp. So
yeah, I mean, getting selected for the Boomers side's a pretty good show to say that it can play, judging by some of the names of the bigs there. So yeah, I mean, I once again, I don't know too much, but I think it's going to be a good signing as well.
Admittedly, Boyd, I don't know much about him as well. He's 25 years of age, so a little bit younger than Dally, so not past it, obviously. But he was a part of the Mavs and Nets Summer League squads in the past few years following his time at LSU. Played in Serbia more recently, only averaged the 5 points a game in 12 minutes per game. But as you'd tell me, Benny, that Serbia league is very strong. And the rolling rosters shows we project him at around the 800K mark and a potential starter for the Hawks, do we think?
Oh, yeah, I think he'd,
at this point.
If you've got a Boomer there, you'd be expecting him to start, unlike someone else there last season. So we guess we got to flag that it, a particular ex-Boomer didn't start and didn't do much at all.
Tang.
But we know the fantasy game favours the big men. Coming from Europe, we had Ben Magin. I think that's what I based that price on. He was about that 800K. But Division 2 Spain was Dan Trist at 400K. Hopefully we can get in touch with
Herbs and Spices, isn't it?
We can get some secret... I'll get some insight and look, a bit of advance notice on what the pricing will be, but he's juicy selection.
Possibly a juicy selection. I mean, the proof's going to be in the pudding. We're going to have to see him in some games and see it in the NBL game if he's going to be a double-double threat, because that's what we really want with those bigs. But he's definitely on my watch list early.
Next dynamic duo, which was confirmed as of yesterday as well, was The Hump and Mitch McCarrion, who's Olgan official at this stage, with the Adelaide 36ers. Banksy, I'm going to throw to you on this one. Very, very good signings for Adelaide, fair to say.
Oh, that's going to be their core, no doubt. And if you look at Mitch particularly, I mean, we saw what he did with United. He's a stat stuffer, but there was also a lot of mouths to feed on that United side as well. I think with him moving to Adelaide as well, I mean, we saw the assist numbers that Giddy put up last season, particularly early on before, prior to the Hump injury. We saw that pick and roll game, and that really helped Giddy rack up those assists as well. So very much looking forward to that. Hopefully praying that Hump can stay injury free next season, because that was the only thing that was, stopping him from being a legitimate fantasy jet last season, fair to say.
Yep. Excellent dynamic duo, that's for sure. We're going to have we've got a third dynamic duo to talk about now, but we'll have a go at ranking them at the moment after we discuss Xavier Cooks returning and someone who we'd hoped would return, Boyd, who you're a massive fan of in Jarrell Martin coming back. And are we feeling that Jarrell Martin could be value? Can we get better output for him next season, do you think?
Possibly. What was he? What have we got him down as?
He's not cheap. Banks is getting those numbers out.
He's
now.
Average. Is there any chance of you opening an extra tab on your top there?
Sorry, mate. You know me. I'm struggling a little.
Are we talking about Jarrell Martin? 1.51 and Cooks 1.35 projected.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be taking a punt with either of those two. I think it's great that they're both in the league. But it's going to come down to schedule once again. If they're on doubles or triples and no one else is, or only a couple other teams, he's going to be a juicy big.
I'll frame it this way. Let's forget about the starting price and anything else like that. Just purely on average.
Yes.
And injuries and a like of what we had with both X and Jarrell, surely they're going past that.
Yes, I
think
so.
Fingers crossed. Yeah?
Fingers crossed,
agree with that?
Yep.
But also on the other side, flip of the coin, is that's the risk with selecting them as well, is they've got that injury history. I think the thing that let Martin down last season was, for me, he probably didn't get the rebounds, the double-doubles that I thought he was, able to get preseason. He obviously dominated from a you know, actual points in game, but he didn't get those double-doubles that we expected. I think, if anything, Cooks is probably the one at that price that may have some slight value. He was returning from injury towards the end of the season there, and I think we haven't seen the best of him yet.
Oh, 100% agree with that.
I 100% agree with that too. And I think he's probably the one value-wise as well. I agree with Banksy.
Beautiful. So if I'm asking you to rank them, Boyd, Harvey and Reith, Hump and McCarron, Cooks and Martin, how would you... What's the best dynamic duo of those? Who would you want if you're
talking fantasy?
Nah, just if you're a GM of a team. Who are you starting your side with?
Well, Hunt and McCarron, both locals.
Yep.
You know, that starts you off pretty... Hey?
Proven.
Proven locals. So you can put a couple of jet imports around them and you've got a good, pretty good team.
Yep. Be happy with that. I think I agree. Adelaide 36ers fans. Yep. Now... next team we're turning into is the first time we've ever got to talk about signing.
Yes!
This team.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I've got a little intro for
you. Let's
do it. Jackie, can't get you off my mind. So, Jackie's the Jack Jumpers. That's a very famous song amongst our friend circles, the Jackie.
Very relevant.
Now, we've got the rolling rosters there. I've included the Olgan official signings that haven't been announced yet. But I'm going to ask Bordy again. Do you want to just roll through the signings that we've got there at the moment? And
yep.
I'll get Banksy to give his fantasy takes on a couple that he might like.
No worries. So we've got Sam McDaniel and Serge Deans, a development player signed, shooting guards. Small forwards are Jack McVay and Clint Steindl. Just had to be careful there. And just like with the font. And Will Magne and Jared Bairstow. I'm going to jump in quickly because they've been getting hammered a fair bit of the JJs.
They have.
And I don't mind all these signings. Like, you've got... I know... Sam McDaniel was the starter on the championship side. Magne, we know what he's capable of. He had a down year, you know, coming back, hadn't played a lot of ball, etc. Jack McVay, you know, he could light it up. I think in times where he's got lots of minutes, you know, I mean, he's been one of yours, Benny, for a long time, one of your little fan favorites. And Jared Bairstow, same thing. He started for that Perth side like pretty much all the season until the last eight games or whatever it was. Yes, he's a role player. Same with Sam McDaniel, but who knows what happens there? They could, you know, balloon out.
Yeah. I'll just quickly mention that I think some of the criticism is valid in terms of length of contract, but I think Sam McDaniel, Jared Bairstow, 3-year deals is pretty nuts, but you kind of have to give something to get players across. And like all these guys have the potential for some upside, I think, and their fantasy prices reflect that. Banksy, who's looking like a standout?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on. Had that point about the long contracts and... But Sam McDaniel's still reasonably young. I don't mind that one so much. The Jared Bairstow one, I think, is a culture thing. And I think...
Perth.
Roth. Well, that's right. But I think being the coach was at Perth. I think he's obviously seen Jared Bairstow behind closed doors, on the training court, you know. And I think he might be the culture guy. And they've got him in there. Like Gibbo was signed on for the Phoenix. I think he's kind of the culture, the guy there. So I would think that, not having seen it, but behind closed doors, he's that guy.
I think the hangover's wearing off, Bordy, because you're speaking a lot of sense there. I think there's nothing wrong with any of those local signings. I think if you're going to have a question mark over one, for me, it's probably Bairstow. You know, yes, he did start, but, you know, had the lowest usage of that Perth squad. But I think what's unique with those local signings is that every single one of those players brings something different to that squad. I mean, you've got a couple of shooters in McDaniel and Steindl. You got McVay, the hustle guy, and probably, you know, both sides of the court. You got two-way Magne, and you got Bairstow as a good role player, as you say. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think fantasy-wise, the only one I'd really be considering at this point, we obviously don't know how the rest of that roster is going to fill out once they sign their imports. But, you know, has to be two-way Magne. Dropped from a fantasy average of 32 the previous season to just 20 last season. The thing was, he joined that heavily systematic Perth squad towards the end of the season. That didn't help. I mean, he had to learn their system, and that obviously took a little bit of time. And that can only be a good thing for, you know, us with him going to a different Tassie squad next season, because for me, he's going to be well underpriced. And you know, based on his ability, he's going to be priced around 790K, which I think is probably half of what he should be priced
at. He's going to be on every fantasy team to start the year.
Now, the only other little bit of news that I've got to mention with relation to that is it came out that the stadium is not quite ready for the Jack Jumpers, so they're going to play away games early in the schedule. Now, that makes me think that the schedule might not be that, condensed to start off with. Not too many games early on. So, we've got plenty of value in the Jack Jumpers. I really hope that the schedule doesn't prohibit us from being able to pick these players.
Does not matter for Magne. I'm happy to put 790K on my bench. If he's got singles for the first four rounds,
yep.
I'm cool with that.
I think that makes it more interesting, to be fair. You might not make him as much of a lock if that's the case. So
he's a lock for me. He's in my side already.
Well, supreme value. Oh, that's right. You got the early access, Oracle access. Now, so.
You already got the schedule, obviously.
I do not have Oracle access.
All right.
They don't play the first two rounds, but boy, he's got him locked.
Don't bring those. Don't bring that.
Beautiful. Now, I've got a list of the other signings here, fellas, on the runner. I want you to pick just one that stands out to you. I know, Bordy, you mentioned someone earlier, and I think you've done a tweet about a certain Southeast Melbourne player that you might like. We're allowed to share. You're allowed to share your thoughts.
I'd like Rowdy. I think Rowdy's going to be, based on average, he's going to be fairly priced, 892K. I think, coming in halfway through the season didn't really help him. I think once he's been, it looks like he's going to be settled here. Instagram's playing lots of golf around the Mornington Peninsula at the moment, so he's obviously, feeling comfortable and having a good time. So I think he's going to be a good signing.
Surely some more minutes.
I think so.
Starting.
He came off basically 2 years of no basketball, so they had to ease him in, and that's when he had the soft tissue a little bit as well. But I think a full preseason, we're going to see, there's a reason why he was on the extended Boomer squad, and ended up, he did pull out, obviously. But, there's a reason why he's on there.
Banksy, of some of the other signings, I'm just going to make you pick one for now. I won't record this unless you do well with it. So,
I honestly don't think there's a standout for me right now.
Clearly, your answer is Majuk at 250K.
Oh, look, have I learnt my lesson there? I mean, stemming back two seasons ago, it was Majuk versus Penault. We know how that panned out. So hopefully that's not a decision I have to make next season. I'm actually hoping that Dane's actually overpriced as opposed to underpriced, so I don't have to make that decision with my bench. But
That Simpsons meme just came in my head. Yeah, everybody be quiet. Banks is about to do something stupid.
And it's Groundhog Day all again, because I feel like I did this same thing where we're like, well, he could be an option, Majuk, on our bench at 250K, depending on who they sign with their big man rotation. So a lot to play out there still.
Yeah, it really could be. It depends if they get some PF eligibility for Dane or something like that. But it could be your bench player you're choosing out of Majuk at 250K or Magne at the 800 or something like that. It's all going to be fun and games. But for me, Corey Sherville at 250K started in the finals for Perth. Someone to look at. Cairns have just re-signed all their other players so far. Noi at just under a mil isn't that price difference to get us excited what we did last year, but it's lots of the same players we've looked at before, so we're going to have to get rid of some of our biases.
Actually, I'll pick someone.
Go for it.
I'm really, really keen to see what Travis can do next season. I hope he gets that extra opportunity, because they played him at multiple positions, whether it be power forward or small forward, in the finals. So, if based on average 610K, really keen to see what he can do.
As am I. So he wasn't a new signing. He was already under contract, but that's okay. I'm glad you got to
picking him. I'm signing him.
Okay, he's signing him. Saves you new picking Majuk for Majuk. So, all right. Next team we've got a little bit of a feature on, which was in the news massively yesterday, was the New Zealand Breakers. I'm going to ask you, fellas, do they look good? Of course, they had Armani, Banksy. Now they've got Hugo. And now they've certainly got that French connection. So, look out there. Very fashionable side. But how do you think they look on paper? Obviously, the news broken yesterday by Olga Norwich was that they signed France's Hugo Besson, I'm going to go with that, to a 3-year deal. So he will be coming as an import, obviously not a next star, having already signed Usman Deng as the next star player. And they've also signed Peyton Siever, the Siv, as you went with very early on, Banksy, for the upcoming season. And in that article, though, the strange thing, it also says that they're looking to try and sign Ty Webster. Now, before the announcement of Peyton Siever was announced, when Besson was announced, of course, with Will McDowell-White, Corey Webster already in the lineup, we're like, that surely means the end for Ty. And now they've gone and signed Peyton Siever as well, and they're still after Ty. It just seems that something's gone wrong. Something's not like... it would be crazy, I think, with this current roster if they did sign Ty Webster. Maybe there's something up with Corey. It's always a chance that he might want a change of environment despite being under contract. Would not be the first time. But how do we think we're looking?
Well, the New Zealand guards, I mean, there's something that we obviously don't know because it doesn't make a lot of sense. They're just absolutely stacked now with the Siv, Besson, the two Webster boys. Let's not forget our boy Beamer as well. I mean, where does he squeeze into that guard rotation?
Yeah, if they did sign Ty.
You would think that if they do sign Ty, well, probably Will McDowell's the one that's going to miss out and see a huge reduction in minutes there. I mean, they've got to squeeze them in somewhere. But I guess if we're focusing on those two newly signed guys, Peyton Siever, he's a little bit of information here. He's 30. So I guess using the Dally logic, he's obviously washed and old. So... he was pick 56 in the 2013 NBA draft. He played all 24 career NBA games that same season with the Pistons. More recently, though, he was a starting guard in Germany. He helped his team to two championships, though, averaging 10.5 points a game and 5 assists as well. I guess those numbers don't instantly think get in my team, but keeping in mind their highest scorer on that German team averaged 12.5 points per game, so... sounds like it was a pretty even spread. Our other guy there, Hugo Besson, he led the LNB Pro B League in scoring last season, which is basically the second tier league in France there. A little bit more impressive with those numbers, although maybe not the level of the league, but he put up 19.5 points, 4-3 over 26 games last season.
It's a funny one, New Zealand, isn't it? They seem to do this every year. I think Matt Walsh gets a little bit excited when he has the checkbook open and the free agency period starts, and he just gets a little bit worked up and wants to get it all done in a week so he can go holidaying or something.
It's completely unprecedented to get for Hugo, completely untried, 3-year deal straight up. I like the look of him. I think that he seems to be an offensive weapon. Now, but most importantly, it's not what I think. We'll have plenty more breakdowns on these guys later on, but I've got some photos on the run sheet. As we know, the most reliable scouting report is done by Banksy, and the does he look like he can ball analysis.
I love this.
All right, so I've got a picture of Peyton Siever there for you, Banksy. Give us your baller rating on Peyton Siever.
Well, what you've given me here, Benny, it's a little bit of a smaller picture. It's almost a thumbnail, so I'm struggling. I'm just going to put my specs on here. But he almost looks Jordan Clarkson-esque. He's got the tattoos. He's got the NBA look. He looks like he's quite athletic. So, you know, on the eye look, he's probably an 8 out of 10 for me.
Not bad. Not bad. Okay. That's not quite a walk into the side yet. Now, I've got a couple of photos of... young Hugo here. If you can, I haven't included the full bleached look, but if you could describe what you've got in front of you here and give you, as you're giving your evaluation.
Skater boy Besson, just looking at those two thumbnails you've given me, kind of reminds me of myself and Bordy's teenage days. He's, you know, in one of those pictures, he's got the long sleeve jersey on, so obviously playing in the winter, he's got the bleached look with the brown undercut there, so he's got a bit of a top deck look, Boyd, which I sported at some point in the 90s. And
Most of the 90s.
In the other pick, he's, you know, he's got the stretcher. Are they stretch earrings with the holes?
Oh,
bit of a skater look.
It's the double piercing regardless. I'm not too sure if there's stretches, but very fashionable if I'm sticking on that that earlier line with Armani and Hugo and the French Connection. So
France is a
What's your number for
Hugo? I can see Hugo, you know, rocking up to practice with his skateboard, just parking it up. I'm here, boys, you know. Let's do it.
Okay. He's French. He probably drives a scooter.
All right. So, interesting. Now, on I've got a little bit more to talk about with, I guess, getting players out of Europe and the next star program. Obviously, I think it was Hauben, that talked about Bessin as, I guess, potentially being like a next star candidate, but obviously they'd already signed their next star. And what I've got here is just a few minutes just to discuss something that's happened over in the college world, the NCAA world, that will, I think, have a big impact on the NBL, and no one has really talked about it yet. I'll just play a little clip.
They had a conversation. They got to understand this. Worked out some numbers.
Told me what it was. And I put an extra $200,000 or $300,000 on it. And that was it.
What was the number?
It was a couple mil.
Okay, so what you heard there was Master P talking about how he bought Snoop Dogg out for a couple of mil to get him out of Death Row Records back in the day. Now, what does Master P have to do with the NBL? And you'll soon find out. So what has happened in the college is that name, image and likeness rules have been, I guess, allowed in the courts over in the USA. So Master P has a son who is bound for college. He's going to go to a historically black university, Tennessee State University, and he has signed a deal for name, image, and likeness for what amount was that?
It was a couple mil.
For a couple of $1 million, for a company, you think Facebook, Twitter, something like that? No. The company's name is Web Apps America. Now, Web Apps America has a single page website with a contact us page. It has a Facebook page with 51 likes. Oof, now,
doing worse than us.
So, this is the thing. I think that this name, image and likeness rules are going to be rife for people taking advantage of it, right? So, we got someone currently studying their CPA in here, and we understand that it's not very difficult to start a corporation. Not very difficult at all. You can make something with a one-page website like Web Apps America and decide that you want to do a deal for $2 million with a particular player. But this is going to be used rampantly in recruiting in college. It already is. There have been deals that have been signed, and there's discussion on teams of what are you going to offer potential recruits from high school? We'll give you a brand manager. We'll create a logo. We'll do all these different things for you. So I just think it's going to be very difficult for us to attract collegiate athletes that would normally go to the NCAA and play in college schools. Now, we've also got the G League Elite. We're going to have two players from the G League Elite that are going to go in the top five or six in the draft this year. Dyson Daniels, young Australian talent, opted to go there rather than signing a next star deal with the NBL. And you've also got Overtime Elite. Now, Overtime Elite just signed another number two recruit out of high school for the 2023 class this morning. In addition to the number two recruit, number 16, and a couple of players in their 30s in the prospect rankings previously. So, we've obviously got one next star from France at the moment, but I just think this completely wipes out what the NBL can offer for next star players who, if you're like these guys that have actually shown anything, like LaMelo, like RJ, they've shown it just a little bit, they have to be like top five, top 10 prospects to actually make a difference straight out of high school on an NBL team. And those guys are going to get mega bucks for whatever college wants to. So that was the disincentive of college, was they were amateurs, they could not get paid. And now there's three viable options in the States before they even look at the NBL to come out of high school. So I think the Next Stars program is basically going to be down to draft and stash players, which I think is good anyway, that they've opened that up for that, because we can have the likes of DD and JJ play as a next star and actually make an impact on a team. So just wanted to make people aware that this is happening over in the States at the moment. I'm thinking about doing a bit of a write-up on it, but it's if you're interested in the business of sport, there's a bunch of people that are released podcasts about the issue at the moment. Make sure you check them out and see what it's all about. But no one's talked about it from an NBL perspective, and I just think it's going to be so difficult to get these top high schoolers over here now. I've just sort of talked about this. I haven't given you fellas a heads up. What do you think? I don't know if you've heard of this rule or anything along those lines before. Got any questions?
I think there was some early talk about it at the end of last season as well. But obviously money talks, so it can't be a good thing for the talent pool that we can pull to the NBL. As far as you know, though, Benny, is there any sort of form of cap on their earnings?
Market.
Free market.
Free market.
That makes it tough, doesn't it?
We've already seen someone earn $2 million just because, I guess, you know.
The other thing you've got to remember is I don't know whether these guys, the next stars that we've had, necessarily have done it for money. I think there's other reasons behind it. You know, playing in a pro league, it's not the NBA, obviously, but the NBL, you know, the opinion of the league is growing. And, you know, it's, you know, in that talk of one of the leagues in that second tier behind the NBA, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it is... I think it's more, there's a lot of the players probably do it for that reason too. Like RJ, like I don't think he was coming for the money.
Yeah, look, he had a big shoe deal signed out of China day of the signing. I'm not too sure about that. You are right. There is an academic minimum aspect that they've got to get to. They've got to go to school. They've got to get certain grades to play and all these sort of things as well.
But it's also the experience of playing against pros, hardened, big body pros.
Yeah.
That some of these kids would prefer, or they think that would be better for them than playing against other college kids.
Yeah, and now there's two competitions that are going to offer that already.
Correct.
In addition to this, so I think we might be a bit.
That might be the bit that actually gets us more than the money, I think.
It almost sounds like a short term cash grab versus what can I do for my career longer term by showing my potential draft prospect in a stronger league?
Got to remember that we've got a guy that's currently playing in the NBA playoffs who was playing in the NBL.
Yep.
How many years ago was it? 7 years, 6 years ago, whatever he was.
Look, we've got our success
stories. We've got most recent successes with
Giddy's going to go top 10.
Tate. We've got, you know, so there's runs on the board. It's not mostly about money. It's not always about money.
yeah.
So I think it's going to be as easy a decision as it sounds.
No.
Because it's a short-term cash grab, isn't it?
Correct.
Could you imagine, like, LaMelo, but Zion was an internet celebrity when he was 15 years old. Like, think in other sports, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, they could have earned infinite wealth, to be honest. So through their name, image and likeness, it's going to be hard attracting those top guys. And let's face it, if you're not one of the top guys, you ain't cutting it in the NBL. So it could just be draft and stash. And just, I guess, to finish up, Makua Maker is entering the draft now. He may go undrafted. Who knows if he get drafted in the late second round, but he could be a potential draft and stash type guy that we'll be looking at.
So yeah, and I think we've had success with those guys, with Didi and Jessup as well. You know, I like it. I think it's I still think there's merit in having the next stars. I mean, there's already a couple signed for this year, isn't there? So
yeah, we got the one. We got the, sorry. Well, we got returning potentially, but yeah, we've got Osman Deng, who is French, and this is the other thing.
He's a talent too.
That's right. He was 14th on the old ESPN 100, and so good prospect. And the thing is that with these rules at the moment, in the NCAA, lots of guys are on student visas and there's restrictions on employment, so they can't actually enter these kind of deals. So if they don't sort that out, maybe we can become, for international players that would otherwise play in college, we can become that different pathway to get into the NBA. But yeah, just thought I'd discuss that. I'm a real nerd on all this business of sports stuff and stuff like that. So I think it's going to have an impact on the Next Star program. make sure you do some reading if that's what interests you. But I think that's all we got to talk about today.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's the start of the off-season. The free agency wanted to give you all a little bit of an update and let you guys know our thoughts initially, I guess, on them all. There's still a lot to go down, but you know, we're already the 10th of July as we sit here recording this, and I think we're going to have games in October. So there's not really a lot of time for the off season this year. So it's going
to
be
there's a lot to get excited about already.
And the Boomers play in a couple of weeks, which I'm excited about. Actually, they play tomorrow, don't they? Against the USA team. Is that right? Something like that. There's a bit of a game exhibition series going on. It's on ESPN tomorrow. So we'll get to see the new Melbourne United signing, hopefully, play.
Daily Watch.
As always, we are on Twitter at @Beeble_blokes. we're www.basketballblokes.com, the number one source of NBL fantasy info. And that's it. End it on a good note. Good Jack.
Stay classy.